Tech of Sports, episode 70, Nick Suberling, podcaster. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, Nick Suberling. Just want to let you know that Netcast Studio produces great content you can listen to anytime and online. Just go over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the shows that are available. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to hear the content mobily, so download the Netcast Studio mobile app and take care of that. You can join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and netcaststudio.com/live. Join the chat room, listen to the show. Just want to welcome everybody tonight to the Tech of Sports from icy Atlanta. We had a little power down this morning and internet and cable down this morning, but we're back in time for the show tonight. And we're happy to be with you because we got a great guest, and it's Nick Suberling, another podcaster that comes highly recommended to me. And he's the founder of the Sports Podcast Entertainment Network, SPNT TV. Founded that in January of 2012. And he's the host and producer of five different podcasts right now on the network. And his goal, like any other podcaster, is to make a dent in the vast sea of podcasts that are out there. He's doing a great job. He is very fan-centric with his podcast. He has the Who Day Weekly show. It was a finalist in the 2012 and 2013 podcast awards, and we'll talk about that and some of his other shows. Nick, thanks for coming on tonight and taking some time out.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great to have you. And this is the Tech of Sports, so I thought podcasting fits in perfectly. We haven't got a couple people that dabbled in podcasting a little bit as guests in my past episodes, but you're a podcaster and a fan, and I think that's a really good perspective to relate to people and to reach people, because I think, you know, sports podcasts, especially in sports talk radio over the years, is mainly hosts spouting off about a topic or an issue, and you get to hear them talk most of the time. But I think what you do is kind of unique and great, because you're, I think, first of all, you're a fan and now a podcaster, but you guys really, and you especially give a good fan's perspective on things. Is that kind of your goal and kind of your theme of what you try to do?
Absolutely. With Who Day Weekly, it's a podcast. First and foremost, it's a Cincinnati Bengals podcast. So as you can tell, over the last, 25, 30 years, the Cincinnati Bengals haven't exactly been a model franchise in the NFL, both off and on the field. What we all share with this community is that we're passionate about the Cincinnati Bengals. And so when I started the show Who Day Weekly back in 2010, you know, I just was looking for a way to basically talk about the Bengals with people around the world. And I, at the time when I launched the show, it was me and my friend. I wasn't even the host. I was the producer of it. And my friend who was the host. He's a Green Bay Packers fan, but I wanted to get the content out there because there wasn't a Cincinnati Bengals podcast available. And lo and behold, here we are now heading into our fourth off season. And the show has just grown leaps and bounds from day one.
Yeah, I feel a kinship with your co-host because I'm a Green Bay Packer fan as well.
So, oh, cool.
Growing up in Wisconsin. I think you kind of said something there that's key. With a podcast, you really reach an audience that maybe you didn't even know existed before. And I'm sure you realized, and maybe you've heard from listeners from all over the world that are, you know, Cincinnati Bengals fans, and maybe you never even thought that that was possible. Has that really surprised you? And how many of your listeners would you say are maybe people from outside the U.S. or people you wouldn't even have thought that NFL football would have reached?
Well, when I first started the show, I the first people that I heard from were from people that were outside of the country that don't get NFL coverage where they're at. Most of the fans I hear from are from over in the U.K., Scotland, England, to name a few. Were the first few fans that really made a point to reach out to me and say, we love this content. We're so glad that you're doing this. I would venture to guess that most of our audience is outside of the state of Ohio, because, you know, they don't get the Bengals coverage where they live, whether it be North Carolina, whether it be Atlanta, whether it be, my co-host of the show lives in California. So he doesn't get Bengals coverage there like we do here. In fact, I don't even live in Cincinnati. I live about 2 hours north of there. So I'm stuck in Browns territory and Lions territory, and it is the worst. I had to do something to get my Bengals fix. And, you know, at the time, I didn't anticipate finding out fans from all over the world, but hearing from them has been fantastic. We've heard from fans, like I said, in the UK. There's a fan in Saudi Arabia who reaches out to us all the time. Another fan in Australia. So it's been pretty cool and pretty remarkable to hear the response from fans all over the world that you would have never thought would be Bengals fans of all teams.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So that the next question then from me would be, since you're kind of filling a void or a gap for those people, are you kind of regurgitating the same information that you would hear if you lived in Cincinnati on talk radio or sports talk radio, or are you guys kind of breaking new ground and possibly breaking news and talking about different things than you would hear? What's kind of, you know, if you were planning out a list of the shows for the month, whether it be the season or off season, how much new information are you guys looking to bring, or are you trying to comment on what other people are saying?
Right. Well, during the season, it's a lot more easy in the sense that the games are going on, so you have stuff to talk about. Within the last year and a half, we've implemented a phone line for fans to call in who do tune in and watch us live. And to be honest, this fall during the season, they dictated a lot of the content. It got to a point where I couldn't not answer the phone, and our shows went from, you know, an average of 40 minutes to an hour 10, an hour 20. And it was just nothing but fans of the podcast calling in because they wanted to have their voice heard. They wanted to be able to talk about the Bengals. So I would say within the last year and a half, the show's really changed as far as the format goes. In years past, we would just kind of recap the game, spend half the show recapping the previous week's game, and then the second half of the show looking ahead to the next week's game. Also, this fall, we implemented a post-game show. So after the Bengals played, we hosted a live call-in show for people to call in. So that was pretty cool as well. Like I said, the fans dictating the content. Now, we don't break any news. A lot of it is kind of... what I'll do is I'll kind of scour the web for any kind of Bengals related news that's been posted. Unfortunately, the Bengals don't give us access, and I really wish they would reconsider their position on new media. Since we're not traditional print and radio, TV media, they don't really care about us very much. So, it's kind of unfortunate because we do cover the team and we shed a positive light on the team, and we're fair, we're balanced, but I wish we could get more access.
So yeah, times are changing. So you applied for a press pass and you guys got denied.
Yeah. Numerous times. I think this is the third year in a row we've been denied.
That's pretty amazing, because I've noticed a shift with a lot of people that are that do new media podcast, and they're actually, especially at a collegiate level, they're now getting the same access that everyone else gets. They won't even put you on a press release mailing list or anything.
That we do have access to that. So if there's a press release, we definitely get emailed from the club. But as far as coming to press conferences, as far as getting access to Bengals players, they usually tell us, no thanks. You can reach out to them and their agents if you'd like, but we don't facilitate interview requests for new media.
I think you'll notice that is going to be something that's going to change here in the very near future. But what you guys really do is fill a niche, and NFL teams are covered to death, and it's NFL football is really, as you know, a 12-month sport now. You have draft stuff coming up, and then you'll have spring workouts and mini camps and that type of thing. Do you notice a drop off in listenership maybe during the off season here, or do you notice different listeners, maybe draft fanatics listening now leading up to the draft?
It's funny that you'd say that, because this is the first year that I've actually decided to continue the show throughout the off season. Okay. Occasionally what we would do is the season would end, we'd take a break. Normally right around the draft time, we'd do one or two shows kind of previewing the draft, and then we'd do one show after the draft. And then June 1st would be like our go date, where we go week in and week out throughout the summer leading into the season. But this is the first year we're actually continuing to produce a weekly show through the off season, and 2 weeks ago we set a new download record for an episode. So I don't know why people downloaded that episode as much as they did, because it is the off season, but people are still downloading it, and they're still wanting the content. We asked the fans, what did they want? Did they want the show throughout the off season? And the overwhelming response was absolutely.
When you guys decided to go 12 months with the show, and you may have answered the question with what you said before, were you kind of hoping just kind of to maintain the interest and the listenership you had? Or did you guys actually think that we can keep growing now, because this is uncharted territory for us, and we'll get people interested in the draft. We'll get people interested in little side stories, or even free agency you know, undrafted players that get invited to camp, type of things. Does it open up a whole new kind of universe for you guys?
Well, you know, when we first made the decision to keep the show going, you know, I came up with some ideas on ways to be creative and create content throughout the season, you know, top 10 lists, different kind of things that allows for some interactivity within the community of the podcast as well. I'm starting to realize now that with the off season, the local Cincinnati talk radio doesn't cover or talk about the Bengals as much now, because there's Cincinnati Bearcats basketball, there's Xavier Musketeers basketball, there's Cincinnati Reds baseball, which pitchers and catchers report this weekend. So they're going to start talking about the Reds. So I think there's a real opportunity now to reach that audience that may have been tuning into to local Cincinnati sports talk radio that might say, well, these guys are covering the Bengals now, I want to hear them. And oh, wait, they do this every week. Oh, wait, they do this live on Wednesday nights. I think there's a real potential to grow throughout the offseason because of that.
I think so too. And NFL fans fan is short for fanatic. So these people want to gobble up any information, any new content, and if they like how you present the show and how you conduct the show, I think they're going to follow you. You know, if you even added two shows a week, they're going to want that. They're always wanting more. So I think you guys have that going for you.
Yeah, and we're fortunate enough that we're on a website that does a tremendous amount of blogging about the team as well. So there's content there that they're always checking out. Now, I personally am not, I'm not a writer, I'm a talker. And so that's why I do the podcast. So two shows a week during the off season, you know, I wouldn't rule it out if people want it, but you also need content. And I guess we'll find out more come June how we'll handle next year as far as the content and how to approach the off season goes.
Yeah. And you guys have an affiliation with CincyJungle.com, a part of SB Nation's network of blogs and content. Talk about that partnership, that relationship. How does that help you guys? And what does that relationship with SB Nation mean?
We started, we merged with Cincy Jungle probably about a year ago. And, you know, the reason we decided to jump on board there with SB Nation is because they were the number one Bengals blog, the most visited blog, and one of the most visited blogs in the SB Nation family of blogs. And so I thought, wow, that'd be great. We could get a much larger audience, a potential larger audience. I wouldn't say that our numbers increased a whole lot when we first started with SB Nation, but I think as the fans of that community started to see we were consistent in doing more and more Bengals podcasts, they started to get a little more interest, and they started to realize, oh, these guys are serious. They're for real. Maybe I need to check this out. So I just wish that SB Nation as an organization would embrace podcasting, because they really don't. Their web platform is not built for audio. It's built for text. It's built for writing. So it's been a struggle there. There are a lot of other SB Nation blogs, particularly on the football side of things, that are doing podcasts, but they're using other services like Blog Talk Radio and that sort of thing. And although I'm not a fan of Blog Talk Radio, I still think you're creating content and it's getting it out there. So I just wish that they would embrace it a little more and realize the impact that podcasts do have on your website.
Again, I think we're slowly building to something like that. So I'm a writer and a podcaster, so I can kind of cross promote a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So it's been good for doing radio and doing podcasts. It's been good for my writings, and I think people have discovered other things I do from my writing. So it all kind of builds on each other. You have to be multi-platform. I think that's really important. And we're with Nick Suberling here from a podcaster and the Who Day podcast. And Nick, you know how this works. We're going to take a quick break here for a second, and if you guys are doing any shopping on Amazon here this spring into the summer, you can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any and all of your shopping needs. And that includes Mother's and Father's Day coming up, Valentine's Day, you're running out of time for that, and the wedding season and graduations coming up this spring. So feel free. I use Amazon weekly for buying things. They have everything now. And you can go to netcaststudio.com/Amazon to help out the studio here and everything the Netcast studio does. And we're back with Nick. And Nick, I have friends that are in sports talk radio here in Atlanta and other cities. And I always, if I want to get them going, I always kind of throw out a question to them. And is, you know, I always ask them, especially here in Atlanta, because the fans here are really, there's some really crazy local fans. It's been such a town of losers for a long time, other than the Braves streak. But is the, as you notice, a different show, or is your show better, do you think, when your team of focus, in your case, the Bengals, is winning or losing? What, how has that kind of panned out for you? You've seen both sides of the spectrum now.
Yeah. Well, to be, it's funny. When we started the show back in 2010, it was a couple of days after, Terrell Owens signs with the Bengals. And I was telling my buddy, I was like, man, this might be the perfect time to start this podcast, because people are going to be talking about the Bengals. They're going to be excited. And well, it's T.O. And so, that first season we did the show, they won their first two games, and then they went on a 10 game losing streak. I don't know how it would happen, you know, how the fans would react now. Excuse me. But nobody knew who we were in that first season. We didn't have the exposure that we have now. So I don't know how the reaction would be. We've been fortunate since that year that the Bengals have made the postseason the next three seasons. So we've had a nice little run of luck with the podcast and with the seasons that the Bengals have had. Now, we've kind of, how do I want to put this? We had a rough year as far as the quarterback position goes, because it seems like our fan base either loves Andy Dalton or they absolutely hate Andy Dalton and want him to go away. That has been a large topic of debate throughout the fan base this season. And so it was a major theme here in the fall in 2013 as far as the podcast goes.
You could probably get Carson Palmer back if you want.
No, we don't want him. He's we're glad he's in Arizona, because, you know, by him being traded and the draft picks that we got for him, our team got a lot better. So I think everybody was happy with how it turned out.
At least when you came on the air, you didn't call yourself the TO Weekly podcast, because that would have been pretty short lived. But it would have been a good lightning rod there for during that 10-game losing streak. He was quite a cancer.
It's funny that you say that, because going into that season, I thought, well, this is going to be interesting, because we did know the history with T.O. But surprisingly, he wasn't that bad in Cincinnati. I think the bigger issue was Chad Ochocinco at the time. And, you know, him and Carson weren't on the same page. T.O. actually had a great year in Cincinnati that year, but had his season end a little early when he tore an ACL. So I think that was the last season too that Terrell Owens played in the NFL. So it's you know, T.O. wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. They got on one of those streaks that just nothing could seem to go right for them.
That was T.O.'s last year, much to the chagrin of his child support payments and all his ex-wives. So that's a whole nother story. But it was, you guys had a few lightning rods and a few egos on that team for you know, one of the smaller NFL markets in Cincinnati, and that was pretty interesting, all the attention you got for that. And we're with Nick Suberling here from Podcaster Sports Podcaster, the Who Dey podcast. And Nick, give your information if fans are interested in listening to your shows. What's the best website for them to go to? How can they follow you on social media? And if they want to contact you, what's the best way?
Sure. I founded the SPNT Podcast Network, and we've got a whole bunch of different shows. Who Dey Weekly, which is about the Bengals. The Minor League Report, which is about minor league baseball. It's hosted by four minor league baseball announcers. So they're inside the game. They see the game. There's Irish Impact, which is a Notre Dame podcast. And you mentioned Red Lake Weekly. That's about the Cincinnati Reds. And a whole bunch of other stuff. We've got tech podcasts there, entertainment, all over at SPNT.TV. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Nick SPNT, and you can send me your tweets there as well.
Have any of the teams that you covered been receptive at all, granting press credentials or access to practice or anything additional for you guys?
We haven't had much luck with any of that. To be fair, like, if we wanted to, I'd imagine we could try to get access maybe to some of the minor league guys, because they are inside the game and they have access to those media. In fact, they're the media relations directors for their respective clubs. So we have access there if we need it. I you know, we haven't tried Notre Dame, but we're 2 hours away from South Bend, so it's tough to get access there. The Reds are a little more receptive to to the social media and the new media stuff. But we've had no luck with Houday Weekly, and hopefully it changes soon.
And those minor league announcers and the media relations guys, they're probably also the guys that unload the luggage off the buses and have to stop at the Wendy's and Burger King's to get food for the guys too. Those guys do it all.
Yeah, trust me, if I had a nickel for every tarp pulling story I heard going around minor league baseball, I'd be a rich man.
I know one guy, and he's helped the country music band set up in center field after the game is over for the free concert for the fans. That's, you know, the last thing he wants to do after a 11 inning minor league class A minor league game. So, but you got to do what you got to do. Since this is the Tech of Sports, just want to, maybe if you want to go over any special technology you use in conducting the podcast, and then any websites or materials that you utilize for the information, just kind of give a little rundown on any nuts and bolts that you guys use, and then any preparation tools you guys use for the podcast.
As far as the preparation tools go, I'm a big fan of Evernote. That's been really helpful as far as writing down notes and being able to share that information to my co-hosts. Google Drive, another tool that I use as well. We do all our shows through Google Hangouts on air. And so when we do that, we've got the video cameras up and running. We've got the microphones. And then fortunately, Google lets us do all that streaming live for free. So we utilize that. I've been lucky in that I ran into a copy of Wirecast, which I know a lot of podcasters around the biz use for their video streaming. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and learn the product yet, but I'm looking to possibly change the way we stream the shows with video and with audio. So I'm looking into using a lot more of Wirecast in the future. I mean, unless you're looking for like specs of my studio, like the kind of mixer or that sort of thing. I mean, that's pretty much it, really. Sports guys are so easy. You know, you just kind of turn the mics on and you can just start talking. And the next thing you know, you've killed an hour worth of time.
And that was just with the introduction.
Right.
Have you found people have become a little more receptive and familiar with the Google Hangout side of things?
I would say, yeah. I mean, we make it really easy for our fans too. Like with the Google Hangouts, they give you the embed code, so you can put the code right into your own blog post on cincyjungle.com. So it makes it really easy. I can give my fans a URL and they'll know exactly where to go every Wednesday night. So that's been really helpful. But then the nice thing about that too is that up until recently, I used to just leave the videos on YouTube, so that if people did miss the live stream, they could tune in and watch the YouTube videos later. But then I got to thinking, well, now that it's the off season, I want to kind of reward those who tune in live on Wednesday nights to see the show and watch it. So, and I've been taking the videos down after the show, and I don't know yet if that's been good or bad. We'll find out here in the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Have you had any people asking where did they go?
What do you mean, as far as the videos?
Yeah, when you took them down, anyone seemed to miss them, or you haven't heard anything?
Yeah, I had a couple people comment, and then when I explained to them why I did it, then they understood. Because, you know, I don't distribute the video. I mean, my show, Houday Weekly, is mostly, it's an audio podcast. Okay. I just happen to turn the cameras on to let people kind of tune in and get an inside look as to how we record the show. And mostly to put a face to the voice. You know, with audio podcasts, you kind of have to guess what everybody looks like, and you kind of have that vision. And then, one day you come across a website and you see that, that's Nick Stubing. Oh, he looks like, you know, that sort of thing. But no, the goal when I first started the show was never to distribute video, because I don't have the storage capability. I don't have the bandwidth availability to do the video podcast. So I was just lucky that YouTube or that Google Hangouts on air records it to YouTube and it stayed there. So we've just had a couple people mention it, but it hasn't been a very large outcry.
Talk a little about the importance of social media and promoting the show and reaching new people and a new audience, and then also informing your regular listeners when you guys have something going up. How important is your use of social media for them?
It's absolutely necessary. It's a must. I'll be honest, that first year we did the podcast, I was new to Twitter, so I didn't really know what I was doing. And I did my best to live tweet during every Bengals game. And so I made sure to hashtag Bengals or hashtag Houdie or Houday every time I possibly could on Sundays during Bengals games. And so that was huge. That really, I think, was what let the fan base know that there was a podcast about the Bengals. We utilize Facebook. We've got a Facebook page for our website. I'm trying to think of what else that we it's mostly Twitter and Facebook are the two that I have found that have been the most helpful as far as getting the word out and letting people know what we do.
Yeah, I think those are the two biggies. I think it's not an option anymore. You have to do it. And I think if you pick up a few new listeners each week or a group of listeners each week, I think all the effort you put into social media is well worth it. So I think you do a pretty good job with that. And we're wrapping up here with Nick Suberling. Yeah, as a Green Bay Packer fan, I usually hold off on making any predictions until once the season gets closer around and I give a little more in-depth look at the schedule. But I'm going to ask you here on February 12th, if you had to make a prediction right now for the coming year, what do you think?
Are you mean as far as the Super Bowl champion? Or are you just the season in general?
Regular season record.
Well, I'll say this. They lost their defensive coordinator this offseason. He's now Mike Zimmer, now the head coach in Minnesota.
That was a good hire by Minnesota.
Yes, very much so. I think he'll be missed in Cincinnati big time. They are getting older in age in the secondary. They actually were the number one defense in the AFC a year ago. I don't know if they can keep that up with a new defensive coordinator this year. But they still have a young quarterback, a young nucleus of talent on offense. And without knowing their exact schedule, I'll just take a guess. 12-4, just a guess. And I'm only basing it on the fact that in year one under Andy Dalton, they were 9-7. Year two under Andy Dalton, they were 10-6. Year three, which was last year, they were 11-5. So if that trend continues, and I think it may, the rest of the division's kind of weak. Cleveland's a dumpster fire all the time. Pittsburgh's getting older. Baltimore is, they fell off after winning the Super Bowl a year ago. So I just think that as the division, the way it shapes up, the Bengals have a good chance to kind of run with it for the next couple of years. So I'll say 12-4.
I hope you're right, because I like seeing that team do well. But I think if you look at other NFL, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I think if you look at other NFL teams that have had 3 years that they've improved a little bit, usually in that fourth year, they take a step back. So,
I know. Oh yeah. It's definitely, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. The fact that the Bengals were in the playoffs 3 years in a row, and that's
amazing.
Is exactly when you consider the last 30 years of futility with this franchise. In fact, they just recently, we just celebrated the 25th anniversary of the last Super Bowl appearance. So the 90s were a lost decade. The early 2000s were a joke. And, the fact that they made it to the postseason 3 years in a row, that to me is a historic occasion in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, I remember back to the Ken Anderson days. So it's a franchise that's had its ups and downs, more downs than ups, I guess. But I know you've enjoyed the last 3 years. My last question is, have you reached out, because you can do this now on social media pretty easily, have you reached out to former Bengal players to come on your show? Have you tried that angle at all?
We have. I had a little bit of an inside connection with Anthony Munoz. I don't know if you remember him or not, but he's the only
Hall of Famer
in Bengals history. Yep. I actually played high school football with his son. And so I had to kind of reach out to him and say, hey, coach, because he was actually a coach of our team as well. And I just kind of said, hey, coach, would you mind coming on our show? Not expecting him to say yes at all, but he did. He came on. That was year two of the podcast. That might have been one of the most nervous times I've ever been in my life interviewing Anthony Munoz.
He's a nice guy,
though. Absolutely. Super nice. And really thoughtful of him to come on the show. We had Reggie Kelly on. He was a former Bengal. I think he was a former Falcon, if I'm not mistaken.
Unfortunately, yeah. Well, I'm not a Falcon fan, but he was pretty awful down here.
Well, he was quite loved in Cincinnati. So we had him on a couple years ago as well. So we've reached out to a number of different former Bengals on social media. I'm one of those guys, though. I feel awkward sending the tweets. It just seems like, to me, it looks like you're begging, or you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, you got to have an angle. You got to have an angle. You got to say, we're going to be talking about this week. We thought it would be, interesting to hear your perspective on it, because I know you had something to do with it. And if you have anything you want to promote, we'll do that on the show for you as well. And usually, there's no guarantee they're going to say yes, but at least they'll give it some thought, probably.
True. You're right. I'm just basing that on what I've seen of other producers in the podcasting and in fact in the radio biz, where I just kind of like it just looks, you know, there are other avenues to reach out, whether you don't have to do it socially.
I absolutely know. And Nick, great stuff. Give the listeners again your shows and your website, how to hear what you have going on, because it's definitely worth a listen, and how they can follow you.
Absolutely. SPNT.TV is the website. Who Day Weekly, The Minor League Report, Red Leg Weekly, Irish Impact, Thursday Tech Talk. I'm sure I'm forgetting some. Check them out. They're all listed over at SPNT.TV. And you can follow me on Twitter at Nick SPNT.
Absolutely. You're definitely worth a follow. And I always have one last question here on the Tech of Sports. I ask all my guests, what's the one gadget or piece of technology that you can't live without in this day and age?
Oh, that is a tough one. I recently, within the last month, got my first iPhone, and I have found that if I didn't have my iPhone, I would be lost. Mm-hmm. And then over the weekend, I got my first iPad. And so I've been fully immersed in the iOS world over the last 4 weeks, and I'm loving it. So can I go with two, the iPad and the iPhone?
Yeah, they're related. Perfect. I think you can go with that. Yeah. Did you come from an Android phone to the iPhone, or did you come from a dumb phone to the iPhone?
I was on an Android phone, and it was a four-year-old Android phone. And so nothing really ran very well. And I was just in really bad shape as far as I needed an upgrade. And we made the switch to a new carrier, and I'm loving it. I'm having a blast. My eyes have been open to a whole new world of apps and productivity, and it's great. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're only discovering the tip of the iceberg, probably. So you'll have fun with that. And great having you on, Nick. That was great. And we're looking forward to following what the podcast has going on here leading up to the draft and through the summer. I know that's maybe a time when people aren't following NFL football 100%, but I think now there's enough going on. The NFL really does a good job at spacing everything out and keeping people's interest all year long now. So I think that's a benefit for you guys.
Absolutely. You know, the draft, they moved to May as a way to kind of spread it out so that it is more even throughout the offseason. So you're right. It's been a blast. Thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it. And go Packers.
You're kissing up to me now. You don't have to do that, Nick. I like you just the way you are. So you don't have to do that.
All right. Well, then who day?
There you go. There you go. I won't say that, but you can. Just want to let everyone know that Netcast Studio has many other shows you can check out. It might be of interest to you. You can head over to netcaststudio.com and check all of them out. And also the podcast directory that's set up by the people in Netcast Studio. I know Who Day is on there. It's Two Thumbs Up Media, twothumbsupmedia.com. And you can see all sorts of shows and great shows by Nick and lots of other podcasters. So thanks for listening, everyone, tonight. This has been the Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production.